are in truth so blessed. Now, who was the persons that first performed Bless the Beast and the Children?
Carpenters.
The Carpenters. What year? I know, I like to ask these questions. It's your trivia. 72, 71 it was. Okay. It was 71, and the writers of it are Barry DeVorzin and Perry Botkin Jr. Now, this song speaks of blessing the beast and the children, for in the world they have no voice, they have no choice. And what occurred to me, because yes, beasts and children need our blessings, but when you were singing that, what occurred to me is there is an inner child in every single one of us. So it's not just to bless those that appear in a smaller body or the little four-legged ones or winged ones and such, but all of us have a child inside. Actually, I think we have children, inner children. That's what my therapist told me. I was like, I'm down with that. You know, I could be a crybaby or a temper tantrum or just want to play and not do big people stuff. Anybody? Okay, right? So today's talk is entitled The Power of Blessing. And last week I spoke about what happened in Chicago. Who was here at that talk? Yes, most of you. And so what I talked about from the Parliament of World Religions that I attended the 13th through the 18th was that there was 850 different sessions, panels and workshops and events. And most of them all talked about and all these different religions. I think there was about 100 different spiritual traditions and 200 plus countries represented, over 7,000 people. It was massive. And what I got to witness was that all of these 850 variations often were talking about, mostly, about freedom and human rights. It was about defending freedom and human rights. It talked a lot about the ecology of the world, about freedom for people, for the rights of people that aren't being given, injustices, reparations for different economic groups, the Japanese, the Jewish folks, the African Americans. It talked about pretty much anything that is an issue in our world, and it was a collective where you'd have a panel of someone from the Sikh tradition or Baha'i or the Hindu or the Buddhist or the Christian or the Catholic or whatnot. It was one big talk about what we need to do in the world. When I spoke about this last week, I shared that there are two things that I am understanding for myself and perhaps for all of us, is the two things that I need to be about is, number one, educating myself. What is it that I don't know that I don't know? What is it that I don't know that I don't know? Anyone here a know-it-all? Right? The thing is I have started to realize there's a lot that I don't know, and it has changed my life in the last 2 years. I didn't understand systemic racism or white privilege. Why? Because I'm pretty white privileged, and I didn't understand what that even meant. And so I needed to educate myself on what it means to be an ally, right? An anti-racist ally. What does that mean? I didn't know, but I wanted to study it. I looked at veganism for myself and the treatment of animals. I made a decision. Spirit said, you know what? You can do this, Liz. And so I've turned vegan because that's what Spirit would have me do. Now I'm talking about the earth and the ecology and finding out that only 6% of our plastics are actually being recycled. That about broke my heart. So I'm looking how I can become a zero waste. So the whole deal for last week was the two things are education, learning, exploring. What is it that I don't know about anything? Because there's a lot I don't know. And then what action is mine to do regarding that learning? Because there's much more we can do. And, you know, we want change in our world. As Gandhi said, you know, be the change. We're the ones that we're waiting for. And so it's up to us. It's not going to happen. But, you know, what was it? Margaret Mead said, anything that ever happened was done by a small collective group of people. You think, oh, I can't do anything. No, the truth is, if we all do a little bit, we can transform our world. Now, besides doing education and doing the action steps that we're led to do, there is something else, and it is an inner world. It's called blessing, the power of blessing. And in 2019, I believe that Unity Santa Fe did their Adventures in Faith book study on the gentle art of blessing. It's a simple practice that will transform you and the world, by Pierre Pratervand. And so I had this book, and then I needed to relook at it. The power of blessing. So let's look at what actually blessing is. So I looked it up, of course, through Google and the dictionaries and such. Number one, to consecrate or make holy by religious rite or word. Definition two, to request of God bestowed of a divine favor. So you want a blessing from the divine for yourself or for someone else. And number three, to bestow good of any kind upon. Now, being a New Thought teaching and practice, to consecrate or make holy. Well, we in Unity don't make anything holy. What we do is we recognize the holy. Because in Unity, we have five principles that we believe are universal across the nations and all spiritual practices, which is everything is the divine in expression. It's all vibrational. It's either a higher vibration of light, because there's no such thing as darkness. Darkness is only the absence of light. It's a vibrational spectrum, a continuum, if you will. So when we talk about blessing, it's not to consecrate or to make someone holy. You're already holy, right? You're already the divine in expression. So a blessing for me in this context was, I recognize that you are the divine. Sometimes we see very interesting expressions of the divine, right? And you're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, that's divine too. To request of God divine favor. Well, what we teach is that we don't ask spirit for something. The words to ask for something in prayer actually mean to claim it and to accept it as if it was already so. So I don't ask God for anything. I give thanks as if the thing that I wanted to have happen is already happening. That is what affirmative prayer, that is the type of prayer that Jesus, our great way shower, the greatest metaphysician ever said. He's like, no, you give thanks. You give thanks acting as if it was already so. And when you feel like it's already so, not just the head thing, when you feel like it's already so, you feel joy, you feel happy. What do you feel? I like to always ask the people that ask for prayer, what is it you would feel if you had what you wanted? What would you feel? Because it's really the feeling you want from the experience that you're asking or claiming to have as so. So blessings, it basically, this book speaks about all of the ancient spiritual teachers understood the extraordinary power of our thoughts. Thoughts can either give life or they can kill us. Our thoughts are the biggest power we have. We're not taught that. By blessing, he says that it is the wishing the well, wishing well from the bottom of your heart with total sincerity for people and specific people. He talks about, he gives recommendations. So I'm going to let you know that you're going to want to get this book. And we also have an online Unity online bookstore in case you're interested in picking up a book. Try that way, because we also get a little love back from your purchase. So blessing people, you want to bless people in their joy, in their health, in their prosperity, in their peace, in their wellness. He speaks, and before I go into that, why do we want to bless others? Why? Well, because everything that we put out in the world, we get back. You can curse or you can bless. You know, it's a reciprocated universe. Anything that you sow, you're going to reap. So you want to curse somebody, cuss them out, judge them, you're actually never judging someone else. What you judge in another is just some part of yourself that is calling for love that we haven't been loving. People are just mirrors of our own self. We never see people, by the way, as they are. We see people as we are. Because it's a filter. I can only see. I didn't know I was so awesome and beautiful until I looked out at the mirror view. Right? So he speaks about the practice of blessing. It's something that we hear. It sounds religious, but it is something that I think is awesome because you can practice prayer anywhere, anytime. You don't have to have a degree or a theology. You just get to wish people the highest and greatest good for themselves. He says, the practice of blessing is a simple way. Simple way. I like simple. I don't need complicated. I do the good enough job on my own with that, right? It's a simple way to develop a constantly centered awareness. It's a tool for growing in universal love and avoiding judgment. I know you all avoid judgment. Anybody not ever judge anybody, including yourself, right? We judge. We were trained in judgment. Just ask Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements. He'll tell you all about the judge, your inner judge. When you bless all that those you meet in their total happiness and true integrity without the slightest concern for their appearance, expression, race, sex, or any label, when you wish them for the very best from your innermost being, it is impossible for your heart not to expand. From a narrow cubicle, it will become a temple without walls. Wouldn't you like to just have a heart that was a temple without walls? We're told to love all beings. A constant reminder of spiritual masters is that you cannot grow spiritually if you are burdened mentally by the habit of judging others. All right, got to put the judge away. What if every time you judged, you stopped, you caught yourself, and blessed instead? He says, blessing is not a technique that we perform, but a presence that we embody. Breathe that in. We're a presence. Blessing isn't something I'm performing. It's an embodied presence. It's not an act we do to someone or something, but a relationship we form with them that enables all of us to be embraced in the presence of an unobstructed world. So again, it's recognizing that the divine is in every person, place, and situation. That's not easy all the time, correct? We're going to get into that a little more. By the way, a blessing can take many, many forms. It can be in the form of a hug, a tone of voice, a word, or a glance. What makes it a blessing is the spirit we bring to it. I just started doing this practice because I'm doing this, right? And it's interesting because I can bless anybody, anywhere, all the time. Going in my car, sending people in the car in front of me, you're blessed beyond measure. There are so many ways that we can bless. And he does say that there are so many ways that we can bless. There's no one way. You find the way. You experiment. Now, recognizing that the divine is everywhere present is part of this whole mission. So I just like to know, to remember namaste. The divine is in this person, that politician, that person who's in the news, who's caused havoc. There is the divine. I want to recognize the divine. One of the practices that I engage in for blessing is Ho'oponopono. Did I say it right, Karen? She tells me all the time I'm not doing it right. That's okay. Ho'oponopono. Anyway, Dr. Hugh Lin, you ever want to look this up, this is a very powerful book, Zero Limits by Joe Vitale. Huge. I'm not going to get into the story of it because it's going to take too much time, but it is a practice, and there's four lines. And those four lines are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. You can do that anywhere all the time. Now, you might go, what am I saying I'm sorry for? Why am I asking for forgiveness? What is that about? Again, I don't want to go into that. You know, Google has all the answers, by the way. Google is the know-it-all. So if you want to know more about the Ho'oponopono, she says I did it right. Yes. Whew. Been saying it goofily every time, but I'm blessed. And I'm learning something that I didn't maybe already know. So to ask, do the blessing. Let's do that together. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. Part of his whole teaching is about the understanding that there's only one of us here. So when you're having problems, how might I, on some level, contributed to the problems? Because actually, your problems are my problems. He really talks about 100% responsibility, which is a very radical way to think and be in the world. But I believe that we're called to be radicals. The other way of blessing that I would love to suggest is the Buddhist blessing. Many of you may know it. It is simple. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be at peace and at ease. May you be truly happy. So I'm going to say this and invite you to speak it after me. May you be filled with loving kindness.
May you be filled with loving kindness.
May you be well.
May you be at peace and at
ease. May you be truly happy. Now, what I love about this is we can also include ourselves. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and put your hand on your heart. Take a breath, let it go. And if you would repeat these phrases, may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well.
May I be
peaceful and at ease. May I be truly happy. To remember to bless yourself is very, very important because, and the thing is when you do bless others, you do bless yourself. There are guidelines for blessing as a spiritual practice, which I made copies for you. So if you'd like to pick this up, it is by Pierre Radervaad, and it a few of them. He says, these are guidelines again. On awakening, bless the day, for it is already filled with unseen good, which your blessings will call forth. For to bless and to acknowledge the unlimited good that is built into the texture of the universe awaits us all. It invites, when we say, bless this day, it is filled with goodness and I am receptive. On passing people and talking to them, bless them in their health, their work, their joy, their relationship to the universe, themselves and with others. Bless their abundance and their finances in every conceivable way. As you walk, Bless the city in which you live, the government, teachers, nurses, street sweepers, sanitation workers, children, bankers, priests, and prostitutes. Right? He says, just bless all beings. They're the divine in expression, a unique individualized expression of the divine. Again, to bless is to wish unconditionally. From the deepest chamber of your heart, the unrestricted good for others and all events. I love this one. To bless all without distinction is the ultimate form of giving, because those you bless will never know from whence the sudden ray that bursts through the clouds of the skies, and you will rarely be a witness to the sunlight in their lives. That is so poetic and beautiful, to know that when you bless someone, wish them well, know the good is happening for them. Wow, you're never going to see and witness it, but they're going to have them. So you're secret agents of blessing. You are being deemed to be a secret agent, blessing others and all things. Last one I'll share from here is, it is impossible to bless and to judge at the same time. So hold constant as deep and intoned thought the desire to bless. For truly, you can become a peacemaker. And one day you shall behold everywhere the very face of God, the divine. So these are available. If you're online, you can also send to RevLiz@UnitySantaFe.org, and I would be happy to send you a copy. I can scan that in as well. So it's about blessing. And we've covered how to bless, ways to bless. Create your own ways to bless others. Now that we've covered these ways, have you ever found it hard to bless somebody that may have hurt you or harmed you or hurt or harmed another? Difficult people? Have you ever attempted to, and how do you bless your enemies? Those that are rapists, murderers, terrorists, people who take joy in hurting others, politicians. How do you bless these divine beings when their acts are atrocious, horrendous, tragic, hateful? How do you do that? I mean, Jesus, our great way shower, he has these words. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. One of the things I went to at the parliament, prisons. They don't teach anybody anything except how to continue in the hate. And by the way, anybody who hurts somebody else is in truth hurting themselves. They are in their own pain and don't have a healthy way to put that, to experience that pain. It's so horrendous that they hurt others. Now, what I like to do is to remember that whoever is doing the poor, bad, horrendous behavior is actually wasn't born that way. Nobody is born hateful, cruel. But when you look at the situations that people go through and what has created sometimes monsters in our way of seeing people, what is up? And I like to remember them as a child, knowing that they're hurting. I want to share with you a story of a young man. He was the son of a middle-class government worker. His father demanded absolute obedience from his children and was given to fits of rage with his family. This boy, when he was 3, witnessed his father brutally beating his mother for talking back to her husband. When the boy was 4, his father physically beat him on a daily basis. At 6, he remembered getting 30 lashes on his back with a whip. When his father wanted him, He would whistle for him as one would call a dog. At 11, he was almost beaten to death by his father when he attempted to run away. Before this boy was born, three of his siblings had died of diphtheria, all before they were 3 years old, and all within a month of each other. His mother, fearful of losing another child, kept her distance from this boy and never fully bonded with him. His father, often drunk, launched into long tirades about the Jews and other minorities were causing all the world's problems. The boy grew to hate his father, but he found no safe outlets for his feelings. He began to bully other boys, play violent war games, and give speeches of hatred. The boy grew into a hateful man who never married or had a family of his own on whom he could act out his feelings. Instead, found a larger context for the expression of his hatred. He subjected a whole race to his hatred. This boy grew up to be Adolf Hitler. I'm just saying, Adolf Hitler was not born to be who he became. I have another one here about a particular president who's up for running again. I'm not going to read it. You can read it if you want to, but I'll tell you what, similar background. These people weren't born this way. We don't know the backstory. We don't know what has happened. And so I'm asking us to have compassion, curiosity. What has happened to this person to have them behave in this way? They're still a divine being who have been usually abused, hurt, and not had the help that they needed to be who they really were. It's our job to remember that they are the divine. Their acts are calls for help. They're needing our prayers more than anyone. So, loving. We're to love all beings. All beings. It's easy to love our friends, but to love those that are, quote, our enemies. I'm going to close with what the Dalai Lama taught Mary Morrissey about relationships. Mary Morrissey had this desire to meet the Dalai Lama and others, Nelson Mandela, and she finally had an opportunity, a one-on-one time with the Dalai Lama. And she says, as she spoke to him, she spoke these words, "I've heard you speak in large stadiums, I've read your books, and I know that you and your people and your culture have been through a very rough time. For 40 years, this has been going on, and yet I can't find any resentment in anything you share. How do you not have resentment in you, considering what you and your people have been through?" His answer revealed a profound truth and a life-changing spiritual practice. The Dalai Lama said, "Everyone has friends. We all have friends. Friends are easy love, easy forgive, but we have our sacred friends, very, very difficult. Chinese government, my sacred friend, not Chinese people, Chinese government. Chinese people don't do this. This is the Chinese government that does this. The Chinese government is my sacred friend, because without the Chinese government doing what they have done, I would never have had to evolve my heart to be bigger than the pain they bring." I don't know about you, I get the God bumps. The power of what the Dalai Lama taught Mary Morrissey was that no matter what face the sacred friend wears, their presence in our lives is actually a means by which we can grow in love, become better instead of bitter. My charge, my call to you is for the next 30 days, be the sacred agent of change and transformation. Begin blessing others. Bless in the morning. Bless all beings. See the divine in your friends and in your sacred friends. All beings need that. And we are the ones that are here to do that. We're all friends in one way or the other. So bless all beings, beasts and children, because that's what friends are for. And so it is.